home listener, or I don't know, commuting listener, any kind of listener. My name is Stephanie Walsh. You are listening to Side B Radio, the podcast. This week, I have a guest for you. I've known this guy a really long time, one of the first people I met when I moved to New York and started, like, you know, finding my way in, like, the music scene and whatever up here. His name is Tim Martinez, Tim number 37 Martinez. He is a DJ, he's an MC, he's a host, he's a producer, he's been a VJ on television, he bartends, he does everything. He's this amazing, awesome person, and he's been a part of some really awesome events he's created, and I actually interned for him for a little while at this one venue. A few years ago, that space ended up closing, so he didn't have use for me then. But, you know, life happens, and things are crazy right now. So I hit him up, as I kept seeing all these, like, throwbacks he was posting on Facebook, and I was like, you know, Tim's done some cool shit, and we should talk about it. So I invited him on the show, and we had a great time talking about life and things. I do want to apologize. There was some connectivity issues. So though I edited as best I could, there's a few parts where, like, it almost sounds like he skips for a second. I promise it's still totally listenable. It's fine. He's great. He's a great person to talk to. He's got lots of stories, and we only, like, scratch the surface. So, please make sure that you know, take a listen and go give him a follow if you want to. He's TimNO37 on the social media. And I mean, he'll tell you that too. But I don't have a whole lot to say. You know, some days I really don't. Some days I really do, and those are the days that I'm not recording. So we're still on lockdown. I think some people are forgetting that because the weather's nicer and some other states and stuff are opening up, but we're not. And we're still here, still doing our thing. I am spending most of this time tracking what I'm eating and exercising and losing weight, hopefully. I mean, I've been losing weight, but, you know, I would like to continue to. It'd be really nice to come out of this whole thing, like, 50 pounds lighter. That would be amazing. Not quite there, but anyway. Yeah, so that's what's going on with me. I'm working on my other two podcasts as well as this one. So, you know, if you like Disney, Radio Mickey, if you like 90s pop, what's the deal with this pop life? And, I mean, that's pretty much what I've got going on. I watched Little Fires Everywhere. It's on Hulu with Reese Witherspoon and Kerry Washington. You guys, go watch that, seriously. It is bananas. I also already finished the season 2 of Dead to Me. I started watching Magic for Humans this weekend. I mean, I've seen it before. Like, the new season just came out on Friday. It's fun. It's kind of, I mean, once you've seen, like, one season, you kind of get it. It's not like he's performing fantastic feats or anything. But it's entertaining. It's a good time. So, you know, give it a watch if you got nothing else going on. I mean, that's pretty much what I've got going on, though. I podcast all the time. I'm spending most days doing podcast stuff and, like I said, exercising and tracking all my food and cooking some fun things. I made crab stuffed mushrooms the other day that were a bomb. I made a stir fry with cauliflower rice. I'm obsessed with the cauliflower rice and, like, the mashed cauliflower and stuff. Who needs potatoes anymore? Seriously, that's where I'm at about it. Like, I'm obsessed. I bought eggplant for this week. I'm going to try to make stuffed eggplant. And I got a spiralizer from my father, so I'm going to spiralize some zucchini. Those are the things I have going on. How very exciting am I? So I'm going to let Tim take it away. And so, yeah, so speaking of, like, the technical difficulties, my whole, like, intro with him, like, hi, why don't you introduce yourself, whatever, nope, didn't work out. So he's literally going to be like, hi, I'm Tim. So here it is. After, of course, here's a word from our sponsors. And then you'll hear the interview. And then you'll hear from me again. Okay, enjoy the interview. Talk to you in a few.
Tim number 37 Martinez. I have been a music, TV, and music media personality for 19 years. And I've been on Fuse TV. I was a part of a show called Uranium. I had my own show, Indie Diaries, on the Indie Music TV network that I was the face of. I am an award-winning equality advocate, anti-bullying and suicide awareness advocate. I won a Characters Unite award from the USA Network. I am an ambassador for the UROC Foundation. I created Hate the Hate, which was a anti-bullying and suicide awareness concert series that did a lot of great work. And we had Broadway editions and incorporated Broadway. And I've just been, like you said, a jack of all trades in New York, and not just New York. I've done events all over the country, and it's been an amazing ride. And I'm very grateful for the life that I've lived so far. And I'm not blind to the aspect that a lot of people don't get to experience the things that I have experienced and have done in my life. And that's not lost on me. But I've used the platform that I was lucky enough to have more so to do benefit events than anything else for my own personal pleasure. As someone that has dealt with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts, and someone that's been gay bashed not once but twice, I've used my platform to help others, and hope I've reached out to them and helped them in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, I dabble in a little bit of everything. I've done some acting. I've done some vocals. I've appeared in countless music videos. And I just want to be the best that I can be as who I am, and reach as many people as humanly possible.
It's great. I interned for you very briefly because we ended up losing that space. But and we can touch a little bit on that. But you just basically everything you just said though is in entertainment, and that's on hold right now. So like, how are you dealing with all of this? I mean, everyone's dealing with this, but entertainers are hit particularly hard right now, I think.
It is not been the easiest. Because also, when it comes to entertainment, I work mostly in the music industry. The music industry has been hit hard, not even before this, but before coronavirus and COVID-19, it got hit by streaming and everything. And when I first started out, it was 2002 when I made my debut on Uranium. Mm-hmm. And then up until 2010, I would say, I was able to make money DJing, concert production, hosting concerts and everything, and not have to worry about a secondary job. But then the money started slowly dissipating because people weren't buying music anymore. Mm-hmm. And people weren't showing up to concerts the way they used to. And even though I have done sold out shows at Irving Plaza, Gramercy Theater, Highline Ballroom, with some big named acts like Kitty and Ice Nine Kills and et cetera, et cetera, it's become a different ballgame. So I started bartending. Mm-hmm. As a secondary source of income, with my main love being what I had done for 10 years prior.
Right.
And now, not just entertainment that's getting hit, it's anybody in the service industry.
Yeah.
I've been, thankfully, I didn't have an issue with unemployment, as a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. I was able to file and start collecting very easily and very quickly, and I'm very grateful for that. And my heart goes out to those that really have been struggling. There are people that I know in Florida and in Kentucky and in Ohio that filed 2 months ago and they still haven't seen a dime. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones
There's
that are
people in New
struggling.
York who did that too. Like,
True. Yes.
everyone's
100%
struggling. It's
right.
horrible.
It's absolutely terrible, and it's something that I never saw coming. None of us ever saw this
Right.
coming. All we can do is live day by day, and that's what I personally do. I wake up each day and I see what does today have in store for me. Thankfully, I have my own apartment in a family-owned private house that my grandmother bought in the 1940s. And her apartment is right downstairs from me.
Oh, that's good.
So I've been taking care of my 92-year-old grandma and helping her throughout this whole situation, along with my Aunt Haiti and my Uncle Angel, my great aunt Nisia. It's a family affair taking care of the matriarch. And this is my mom's mom. And everyone knows my mom passed. It'll be 5 years next month since my mom's been gone. So it's been a challenge and it's been rough, but thankfully my therapist prescribed me Xanax and I'm able to get through every day without having the attacks and anxiety that I would normally get in a situation like this. But and a lot of people are, and I feel for them. So I've also been trying to stay somewhat creative, and I promote my drag queen friends that are killing it with their digital drag shows. And I've also been working on an autobiography I started before my mom passed away, and then I put that to the side. I didn't know how to talk about my life anymore without my mom being here. Because she was my best friend, and she will always be my best friend. And it's just been a real, it's been a challenge. But I've always been a very positive person, even when the worst of the worst has happened. And I do my best to keep that positivity and really just hone it in and try to do what I still do. I'm trying to learn more technology and start doing Tip Number 30 events on social media, like a lot of people have been doing. But I'm a technological Neanderthal, so like I'm the first to admit it. And it's just trying to keep my head above water, keep the fans that I have interested and following. And keep not, and it's not even about my fans who I love, but it's about the people that I believe in that I've worked with for years, even if just a year, 1 year to 10 to 20 years now. I just want to be able to help them because they're struggling even more so than I am. Because again, I got lucky with the unemployment situation. A lot of them either don't apply, aren't qualified for it, or can't get it, and they're really suffering. And that's my thing, is trying to help as a promoter for 20 years. It's just who I am and what I do. So I'm just trying to help out those that I care about and those that I love, as well as take care of my family. And it's been a bit of a juggle, but I'm grateful for it in a weird way because it keeps me busy and keeps my mind off of this awful situation that's going on worldwide that's affecting so many people.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering what it is that you were doing to stay busy. I find it interesting that you found like the, I guess, inspiration to start working on your book again, because I know for me, I mean, my mother passed, I mean, 3 years in December, so it's not 2.5 years, I don't know. But I agree with you that like
I'm
I
so sorry.
stopped
I
kind of
remember
caring about what to do with my like stuff, like nothing really mattered for a while after,
Yeah.
you know. So I totally get that. So I think it's kind of awesome that you have started to revisit it. It took me about a year to like revisit like converting the show into a podcast. So
Yeah.
I remember like my friend had encouraged me, I guess in like March after she died. So like 4 months after she died, to like try to do like podcasting again. And for I think I did a live show maybe 4 or 5 times the entirety of 2018, and I cried every time.
Yeah.
Like, while I was talking, I would just start crying, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this. So then...
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, so it took me till about... It's been about a year since I actually started doing this as a podcast, but it wasn't consistent until, like, October, so... You know,
it,
because
again, all,
it's hard.
We all grieve in our own ways,
yeah.
And it takes time. And there is no set in stone time for us to grieve. And how there's no manual for this.
Not at all.
It's all about who you are, how you are, and how long it takes you to not get over. Because
right.
You never get over losing someone as important as a mom or a sister, which I also know you lost,
yeah.
And I'm so sorry you've gone through all that, but you are moving forward.
Right.
That's
you
what
learn
it comes
how
down
to. You learn how to be, like, in the new...
Live without them.
It's kind of how, like, we're all going to learn how to live in this new world, too. I mean, not
normal.
In the same... But,
normal.
Yeah, exactly. It's the new normal. So...
Yep.
And that's what it is. Now, is your book is going to be, like, about all of your adventures? Or is it going to be, like, family? Like, what's your angle with your autobiography? Is it all of the above? Like, adventures, family, homeland,
yeah.
All of it?
I already have the name copywritten. It's going to be called Finding Myself in a Mosh Pit. And it's all about being one of the first openly gay heavy metal media personalities ever.
Mm-hmm.
There was never an openly gay VJ or media personality in the heavy metal world. And, like, people say, well, Rob Halford, but he's the singer of a band. He's
right.
Not a media personality.
Right.
You know, and there was never anyone before me. And, it really was a rough situation. So the book is going to be, and I cannot promise a date. I cannot promise anything. I am taking this as it comes,
mm-hmm.
because it's a lot to look back on. It's almost 20 years, and I'm going beyond just my career in the heavy metal and music and entertainment industry in general. I'm going from being brought up in a born-again Christian family and being told my whole youth that who I am is evil, and it's the demon of homosexuality and all this, that, and the other thing. And I knew since kindergarten that I'm gay, and I tried to hook up with chicks, and a lot of people go through that. I don't know as much now as back then, because thanks to RuPaul mostly, and to Drag Race, homosexuality, bisexuality, transgender, queer, the LGBTQ plus community has now a mainstream platform,
yeah.
that we never really had before. And we're everywhere. And it's helped me become more of who I am. I've always been sassy. I've always been cunty. Even if you watch my old interviews on Indie Music TV, or even my stint with Uranium on Fuse, you see those things. I was always a little bit like, yeah, okay, bitch. But I'm more so now because I'm more comfortable now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many more of us visible in mainstream. And I'm very happy that I'm alive to see this phenomenon happen, where queer people can be looked at as regular people,
mm-hmm.
quote-unquote regular people, because that's what we are. We're minorities just like anybody else, and I'm a double minority. I'm Latino and queer, so like, you know, but what I'm grateful for is the fact that even though I was still somewhat a little in the closet at first when I first started working with Uranium back in 2002 when I was only 22, but thanks to Dimebag Darrell, rest in peace, he was the one I first came out to when we were drunk at Bellevue Bar, which ended up becoming Duff's Brooklyn. And he told me, fuck everybody else. You are who you are, and you are awesome just the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to be you. We need more people like you. And he and Peter Steele, another one, rest in peace, my uncle Peter, he used to always have me sit on his lap, and he would be like, my friend are one of the greatest people I have ever met. I don't care if you like to suck dick. Now, with in some narcotics." And that was how Peter Steele would talk to me. And like, they really helped open the gate for me. And then, of course, my best friend Julia, who was the face of Fuse, who gave me my start in this crazy fucking heavy metal world that I've lived in almost 20 years now. You know, she was always like, "No one gives a fuck. Just be you. They love you." Even though there was an AOL chat room group of 5,000 people that was dedicated to hating on me, but they were just jealous of me because I lived with Julia and we toured together and I got to see her naked all the time, and they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing about fans or like celebrity in general, which I know you have experience with, but people just talk shit when they have nothing else to say because they don't know what they're talking about.
I see. I'm friends with quite a few of the girls that have been on RuPaul's Drag Race. And I've seen the hate mail and the hate comments and death threats that they get.
And it's all
Now,
nonsense.
it's ridiculous. These people have no idea what they're dealing with. I am honestly grateful that the height of my popularity was before Instagram took over, because I'm a strong motherfucker, but I don't know if I could deal with having 20,000 comments on one post of how horrible I am, how ugly I am, how fat I am, how much I should kill myself, and this, that. And I really feel bad for these Rue girls that have a million followers on Instagram, and a lot of them are just there to hate on them. It blows my mind that there is so much hate, and a lot of it is in the LGBTQ community. And I'm like, aren't you the same? Like, who are you to judge? We fought our asses off in every aspect, back from the Stonewall riots in 69 to now. Like, and you're gonna go out of your way to hate on someone that you've never met. You only know what a reality, quote unquote, TV show shows you, which they don't realize reality TV, because I worked with a lot of
Oh,
reality
it's
TV
super
shows in my
edited.
past. It is partially scripted, it is insanely produced, and the cast knows this, so they create scenarios to get viewership. And people think it's actually real, and it blows my mind. I'm like, wow, how successful, sorry, I don't know how to say that word correctly, but how successful are you? Like, are you that dumb or uneducated? Like,
Well,
sorry.
I mean, there are also people who can't separate actual fiction from reality. Like, you have friends
This
who are
is
on
true.
Orange is the New Black. That guy that played the secure, like the officer, ended up getting like chased off of Instagram because he did the inmate wrong. And it's like, this is called an acting, like it's a show, like
Yes, and also, I mean, I'm not going to mention any names because it's not my place, but you know who I'm talking about. And my very good friend who was on that show, she got attacked by a quote unquote fan of the show, because they hated what she did
What her
in a
character did.
Yeah, thank you.
What her
Thank you.
character did on a
Exactly.
fictional show. I mean, it's the
Yes,
same with like
exactly.
on Glee and how if an actor plays gay or if an actor plays straight or whatever, like that's not reality and some people can't separate it. And it's, I mean, not just any shows, any actors, like some people don't separate like what you see on TV or in maybe in films and real life. And it's too bad. And I also don't understand like the hate culture, like you're saying, like it's so easy not to. If you don't like someone, why are you following them? Why are you commenting
Oh
on?
my God,
It's
there
so
are so.
easy not to.
Thank you. Because there are many, Drag Race, for example, There are quite a few queens that are very beloved, but they don't do it for me.
Right.
Am I going to say some bad shit about them on their Instagram? No, I just don't follow them.
Right.
I respect what they do. It's just not for me. Am I, when I'm at DragCon, am I going to wait online to meet you at your booth? No.
No.
But if you pass by me, I'm going to be like, good job. You right. do what you do. You know what I mean? People take things way too seriously. It's the culture. Social media, and which is funny because that's pretty much what we're using with podcasts, mm-hmm. with Instagram, Facebook, and now this ticky-tocky thing and whatever.
We're like, definitely too old for ticky-tocky.
Oh, I refuse. A couple of
I will were, not. Yeah. Won't do it.
I'm like, no, absolutely not. I'm good with my Facebook, mm-hmm. my Instagram, and my Twitter. That's all I need.
Exactly.
And bye. Thank you.
But like, I think that's a sign of of us getting older, though. We're like, oh, new technology? No thanks.
I'm 41 in September, and I'm proud of that. I mean, I've gained a lot of weight since back from my TV days, but I'm still cute as fuck. And you know what? And juicy and cute as hell and with a personality and a resume that'll blow your mind. So you know what? Fuck you if you want me to be somebody else. That is not gonna happen. And no, so to reiterate what we were talking about, people need to stop hating on people they've never met based on a character, whether it be a fictional show or a quote-unquote reality TV show. Because it ain't reality. It's right. just the genre of a television show that is not 100% scripted, but it's definitely highly...
Yeah, but it's still... And even if it's not, even if these people did say all of these things, it is edited to give you a narrative that they're trying to give you.
Hence why at the end of each episode of a reality TV show, it says story writer.
Right. Well, I don't know if you remember, but... one of our mutual contacts, I guess, you're probably a little closer to him than I am, but Chris Kirkpatrick had a reality show on VH1 back in like 2002,
yeah.
or no, I'm sorry, 2007, Mission Man Band. And I remember
watching
it and being bothered by how whiny they were making Chris out to be, because when I was in Orlando, so I was actually spending time with his mom. And she was telling me all about it. Like, while it was being filmed, I was hanging out at his mother's house. So, not that we weren't part of the show or anything. But she was telling me, like, how he felt about it. And she was telling me, like, what his deal was with it. And how he was just having, like, the most fun. And everything was great. And then when it aired, he was so whiny and complainy about everything. And I was like, they are editing this to just make him sound, like, petulant. And I was like, that's not who he is at all.
No, he's not. That's not who he is at all. And I've spent a bit of time with that man, and he's got one of the biggest hearts of anyone I've ever met in any industry. And he's just a damn caring, good dude. But what they do with that is, like you said, they edit things around. You say what you say,
mm-hmm.
and people blame the editing, and to a point you can, and to a point you cannot. I'm not saying this about Chris. It's gotten worse since 2007.
Right.
But you can't deny what you've said, but you can deny how it's put together.
Exactly.
And that's what people don't realize. So, and that's one thing. Yes, I've tried out for several reality shows. Real World, Big Brother, I haven't gotten on, and I've gotten close to getting on them, and I'm still going to try out for Big Brother in, well, depending on what happens now.
This is Big Brother.
Huh?
I said, this is Big Brother.
Well, you know what? We are all quarantined now. I actually, one of my best friends was on Big Brother 14, Jennifer Arroyo, and she made it to top five, and like, a lot of the fans hated her. She had a lot of people that loved her, but a lot of fans hated her as well. It was just like...
I feel like it's safe to say that a lot of people who watch reality TV hate watch it. Like, they watch it and, like, they hate everybody. Like, it's not like they even have one favorite.
No, they're just looking for something to complain about, which is one of the reasons why I'm glad my legacy as Tim number 37 Martinez is in the music television world. And even though I had haters back in the Uranium days, that's fine. Because it was one AOL chat room. It wasn't like everyone was coming to my MySpace page and writing me horrible comments. Do y'all remember MySpace? Yes. And like, you know, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful now to, I still get on stage. Well, not now, but in the past, I haven't been on TV, including indie music TV. So it's been 4 years since I haven't been on television. And I'm not mad at the fact that I'm able to live more behind the scenes and produce more concerts. And I host them. I'll get on stage and introduce the bands and warm up the crowd. And I love that aspect of everything I do. And but television nowadays, along with Instagram being like, they go hand in hand. I'm not mad at the aspect of, I don't want a million fans on Instagram. I don't. But that, even though you can make good money being an influencer and whatnot, but that, to me, that's not really, that's not who I am.
Right.
And that's not my goal in life. And I just, all I know for myself is, that's your thing. I will support you. I will love you. And I will defend you, because I've gone to war with certain commenters on Instagram for my friends that are getting some hate shit. Trust and believe, I have gone to war with certain people, and I've ripped them apart without using a curse word or belittling them, but just telling them an educated truth, like layman's terms, you're dumb.
Right.
Learn something.
Educate yourself. Do you have plans? Yeah. I mean, assuming that one day we'll be opened up again and we can do things, do you want to do more like of your benefit shows? Is that something for 2021 maybe? Like,
yes. I mean, well, I never stopped doing events and concerts. Hate the Hate was a big, big part of my life, but it ran its course. Uh-huh. And it did its thing, and I raised a lot of money for a lot of great charities. And the bullying aspect of society, it's always been there. Yeah. But it subsided a bit. So I wasn't as, how do I put this? I wasn't as gung-ho to keep producing event after event after event. Also, no matter if it's a charity or not, people get bored with the same thing, which is why with Hate, after a few heavy metal and rock and roll ones, I did the two Broadway editions, and that brought in a new audience, and I was able to raise even more money and spread the word more. What really ended up happening with Hate to Hate and why I stopped doing it was because of my mom. When she got diagnosed with cutaneous lymphoma, with T-cell lymphoma, which is the rarest form of cancer. Only 1% of the human population worldwide is diagnosed with it a year, and it's the only cancer that they do not know how to treat it. So everything was... oh God, I watch enough Grey's Anatomy. I should know this term. when it's being tested and whatnot, you know what's funny? After this is over, I'm going to remember it and I'm going to be pissed.
Of course, that's how it works.
Whatever. So all she did was get treatments that were just testing.
It was trials to see if... and things like that.
Clinical trials.
There
Thank
you go. Oh, look at that.
Thank you. Clinical trial treatments. That's what it's called.
See, this is why it should have been video, because you just got so excited when you remembered it, and I wish that that was filmed.
Because that's what it was. Also, it's been 5 years, and I don't try to think about it too much.
Right.
She's
I get it.
In my mind, but I don't try to think about the bad stuff a lot. But that was one of the reasons I stopped doing Hate to Hate, was because my focus was on her, and I did events for her, and I did cancer benefit events in her honor, and she was able to attend them, and I literally pulled out the red carpet for her with people like Tommy Vext from Bad Wolves and celebrity publicist Tyler Burrow and Gen City and, like, you know, horror author Stephen Van Patten, Tommy London. The list goes on and on. The amount of love and support that my mom got was everything to me, because she is the most important and will always be the most important person in my life. And after she passed, that year, that was 2015. Mm-hmm. That year, Indie Music TV got launched globally, but some stuff happened, and my show, Indie Diaries, ended up being put on indefinite hiatus. I was working with Webster Hall and Slake. Slake ended up getting bought out, and then Webster Hall got bought out. Literally everything that I loved in 2015 died. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do with myself, but I knew I wasn't going to give up. So I started bartending more and just keeping more to myself and working with whatever bands I believed in and I wanted to promote, and helping them out with their social medias and giving them advice. So what it came down to is I needed to rebrand. Mm-hmm. And I had put my autobiography down as well. And in the past 4 years, I started branching out into something that I hadn't done yet, which was the LGBTQ universe. Because mm-hmm. I had been stuck in a heavy metal and rock and roll bubble for 15 years. So I wasn't going out to drag queen shows, even though I've always loved them. Mm-hmm. Drag queen shows and Stonewall Inn and Barracuda Lounge, and that's where I met one of my business partner Carlos Acosta, who owns a Madonna party series called Icon Project, and we ended up last year collaborating and creating what we called Girl Power, GRRRLPWR. And it's a mix of female, trans, non-binary, fronted acts, mm-hmm. rock and roll, and drag queens, and live artists drawing. And we started doing it at the Vinyl Vintage New York Lifestyle. And we did that for a few months, and it went really well. And I rebranded and started coming back with this, with a little bit of, you know, who Tim Number 37 was in the heavy metal world, now mixing it with who I've always been, mm-hmm. but didn't get the opportunity to showcase that side of myself. And we took the winter off because of the fact that winter sucks for events and concerts. And we, of course, we didn't really have a winter this past year, and we were supposed to come back in April. And now, you know, COVID-19 decided a different situation.
Right.
So when this is all over, I am definitely, definitely bringing back Hate the Hate, but with a new. Mm-hmm. It's not just going to be anti-bullying. It's going to be mental health awareness, suicide prevention, anti-bullying, absolutely. Because also for the past 2 years, I have been an ambassador for the Rock Foundation, mm-hmm. and it has opened my eyes so much. I'm actually even in the book that's available for purchase, along with other heavy metal celebrities like Randy Blythe from Lamb of God, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, Otep Shemaya, and, you know, I'm in there as well. And it was a beautiful thing for me to be a part of. And girl power will come back, and I am going to continue to mix drag with metal and rock. And that hadn't been done yet in New York.
No.
There has not been a show that mixes heavy metal bands with drag queens, and it worked out great.
I mean, I was going to say, it sounds like something that could work out great. If you think about, I mean,
oh, it did.
Yeah. Well, metal artists have costumes and elaborate stagings and things like that too. So
yes.
See, I'm not even as like schooled in that scene, and I immediately saw it. Like when you were just, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, absolutely. So that's awesome.
Look at the 80s glam rock bands. Exactly, they were all trash. And then, of course, Marilyn Manson.
Right.
Hello. That is trash. So, like, it just makes sense. That's why, like, I mean, you can't see it because this is an audio podcast, but I'm wearing a Boulay Brothers t-shirt. And if you don't know who the Boulay Brothers are, you need to look them up. They created a horror version of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Amazing.
Called the Brothers Dracula, and it's all about finding the next drag super monster, and it is fantastic. I'm absolutely
like
obsessed with the show. Oh, well, it's so good. Available on Netflix.
Do me a favor when we wrap up, take a real cute little bathroom selfie or whatever and send it to me, and I'll post it on Instagram when I'm like releasing the episode. That way everyone can see your shirt, and I know you got all done up for me, and it's not a video medium, so just take a real cute selfie and then send it my way.
On camera.
Well, I appreciate that. I can't wait for you to be able to do these kinds of events. I want to go see Girl Power. That sounds like fun. And, I mean, you know I'm just a phone call away if you need help with anything. So, do you want to let people know where they can find you on social media, as long as they want to be nice?
I love hitting that block button. If you want to send me some hate, go right ahead. I'll shave the shit out of you and make you want to cry. And then I'll hit block. But, no. Yes. You can find me on, it's easy. It's just at Tim_37. TIMNO37. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Very, very, very easy to find me. Again, that's at TIMNO37. Tim_37.
Now, I feel like when I worked with you, were you turning 37 or were you turning 30? Because I feel like there was a whole thing about like the number and like your age when I used to work with you.
No, the number never had anything to do with my age.
No, I know it didn't have anything to do with your age, but you were like mentioning like, oh, this birthday, I need to do it up because...
Yeah.
Does it sound familiar?
Well,
was that a thing? I know.
No, I ended up doing a big event at Webster Hall in the Marlin Room.
Mm.
And it was fun. I don't remember half of it because I was off of the drugs, but I drank a whole bottle of Jameson, mm-hmm. thanks to the people that showed up. And I don't remember the end of the night, but no, it was a really, really good time. And Tim number 37, turning 37, it had to be a big deal.
Right.
And I did it at the Marlin Room at Webster Hall, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right, because they were bought out, and then I know that they had just reopened recently, though, right? Like Webster Hall had. But
yeah, Webster Hall's real. It's only the grand ballroom. What used to be the Marlin Room is now the dressing room area. The grand ballroom is open again, and they renovated it. There's a cute little bar in the corner. There's a little food area now. The studio, unfortunately, is non-existent, and the Marlin Room is now the dressing room area for bands, and it's very different from what it was when I was working with them, and it took me 10 fucking years to get into their goddamn club, but I'm glad that I was able to be one of their top promoters and event producers for the 5 years I was with them. And to this day, I still hold the record for some of the best heavy metal shows that ever happened in Webster Hall, and I'm fucking proud of that.
You should be.
Because my show was the fuck out. You know, I had bands like OTEP, Sworn Enemy. I had fucking some killer bands that played in Alekhine's Gun, featuring Jessica Pimentel from Orange Is the New Black. Like, I did my thing with Webster Hall.
Right, she's in a band. That I remember when, like, that article came out that was like, you'll never guess these things that these people are doing. So.
Yeah, she's the front woman of Alekhine's Gun, mm-hmm. and she's brutal as fuck. Bitch has a growl on her, and I love her to death. love.
All right, Tim, thank you so much for doing this. I will obviously share when this is published when everything's good. And I hope that I'll see you sooner than later, because get out of our houses. Yes.
Well, yes, and even if it's just a safe social distancing away, we could do a air hug and at least see each other, because you've always been super sweet, super supportive, and I like you. You're just good fucking people, and I'm glad we met. So,
me too.
And thank you for having me on the
podcast. Freaking over 10 years ago now, I think. That was a long time ago that we met. Yeah. All right, babe, take care. And
you too.
I will definitely let you know when this is published and everything's good. So thank you. Love you. Have a good night.
Love you too. You too as well. Stay safe. None but love. Mwah.
Well, gang, it's about that time. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Thank you again so much, Tim, number 37, Martinez, for joining me on this week's episode of Side B Radio, the podcast. If you guys are enjoying this, I need you to do a couple things for me. Are you ready? One, make sure you're subscribed on your preferred platform. We are everywhere. We, as in the collective, we of Side B, since it's really only me, but it's also me and whoever I have on as a guest. So we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeart Radio, Stitcher, all of them. I promise. Just like, type it into Google and it'll be like, here's all the things. Actually, you could also just type it in on Anchor and Anchor will give you all the links. Or if you're following me on any of my social media, which I'll get to in a second, it's linked there too, obviously. So if you're into Twitter, guess what? I'm on Twitter, at Side B Radio. If you're into Instagram, guess what? I'm on Instagram, Side B Podcast. There's a show called Side B Radio in like Philly, and even though I have the domain for, like, everything, they somehow got Instagram before me. It's a whole thing. And if you're on Facebook, Side B Radio, the podcast. I actually think it's just, like, facebook.com/SideBRadio. But, you know, either way, find me. I follow back on most things. I engage with you. I talk to you. If you missed last week, I had John Arthur Green on. The week before that, I had a psychic on. If you need some direction in your life, go check that episode out. His name is Harold. He's giving free readings. Tim is around, obviously, when things start opening back up again, and, like, Girl Power has a show, you bet your ass I'll be talking about it. So, you know, that's how we roll. I hope that you liked this week. I hope that you'll be around next week. I don't know who's going to be on next week. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could be like, here's a list of people who are going to be on Side B Radio. But I'm not that advanced yet. One day I'll have a whole schedule for you. And it'll be cool. Speaking of things that I could have going on, my buddy Robbie mentioned a mailing list, like, hosting site, and he asked me if I have a mailing list for Side B, and I do not, but is that something you guys would be into? You need to let me know. Please sound off, leave me a comment, leave me a tweet, I don't know, text me. Be like, hell yeah, I want a mailing list, and what would you like to see on it? Because I don't know. I mean, I guess I could give you a rundown of, like, the previous episodes that have been going on. If we do, like, a monthly newsletter, I'll be like, these are the people that were on Side B. I don't know. It sounds like a cool thing. I don't know if it's feasible for what I do. But let me know, because you're the people who would be receiving it, obviously. And, you know, if you really like what I do here, I would really appreciate it if you'd go over to Apple Podcast and leave a rating and a review. 5 stars would be preferential, but if you, you know, I say preferential, preferred. 5 stars would be preferred if you want to leave me a rating and a review. I also really love reading reviews, so if you just want to be like, hi, I liked your episode, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that was so nice of you. But obviously, you know, ratings are great, reviews are even better. And if you have any ideas or, you know, thoughts about what goes on here, you can feel free to let me know. If you have any friends who are creative people, or if you are a creative person yourself and you would like to be a guest on Side B Radio, hit me up, my friend. You don't have to be in the music industry per se. You could. I've had bartenders on. I've had comedians on. I've had psychics on. You never know. Thinking about having my hairdresser on. I mean, creative people who do creative things. Everybody's got a story. And that's kind of how I look at it. So that's where I'm at. other podcasters. You know, it's all cool. So hopefully one of these days soon, I'll be able to come on here and be like, oh my God, can you believe it? We get to go out and do things now. But it is not yet that time. So until then, please stay safe. Don't do anything stupid. Give me some follows. Give me some love. Give Tim number 37 some love. And take care of yourself. I will talk to you next week.